Another episode of This Week with Sabir. In the hot seat today is Larry Kim. Larry Kim and I go back, way back. I was one of his earliest customers, clients, when he headed up and he founded a WordStream. And then and he has been on an incredible journey. Here's a quick bio about him. Larry Kim has been named Search Marketer of the Year, PPC Hero, Search Engine Land, and the US Search Awards. He founded WordStream, a leading provider of AdWords, Facebook, and keyword tools used by over a million marketers worldwide and managing billions of dollars of ad spend on behalf of tens of thousands of customers. WordStream was acquired by Gannett, parent company of USA Today, for $150 million in July of 2018. Congratulations, Larry, on that exit. Larry then founded Customers.ai, and that's the topic we will be talking about today. It's very exciting. The world's best B2C and B2B data and AI-powered visitor identification and remarketing platform used by sales and marketing at companies of all sizes. And I highly recommend them to all of my clients because it's a phenomenal tool. Larry, welcome to the show.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Sabir. It's great to be here.
All right. So let's get started. Before we jump into customers.ai, I just want to talk about your past because I know it's really rich, especially when I have OGs on my show like me. You know, I like to kind of see what kind of journey you've had. So can you share your inspiration behind founding Customers.ai and how your past experiences, especially from like WordStream and other ventures you've had, influenced this specific venture?
Sure. So since we were both, you know, doing ads back, you know, 15, 20 years ago, you know, one of the observations from doing WordStream and managing tons of ads for tens of thousands of companies globally was just that it was getting harder. Like every 1% increase in cost per click is, you know, a 1% decrease in ROI. And you know, you can kind of change your strategies and tactics, but it, you know, Google and Facebook ads went from zero to 10 million advertisers over that, you know, last decade, and each 10 million advertisers on each platform. And so part of the reasoning for thinking about Customers AI was I was trying to find something that was a little more leveraged and kind of a more of a game changer in terms of what, you know, don't get me wrong, Facebook and Google ads are awesome. excuse me, but that that the Facebook and Google from 10 years ago prices was even more awesome. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? And so I was just trying to figure out different ways of finding leverage. And we kind of figured out this AI, you know, visitor ID and remarketing solutions. And what we're finding is that this is not like a 10% improvement or 20% kind of improvement kind of thing. It's more like a 100x, 1000x type of technology. And that's one of the core learnings and genesis from this founding of Customers.ai was wanting to find something for e-commerce and D2C that had like significantly more leverage than, you know, other things that I was looking at in the market.
No, I totally get it. Like, because I've been in that ride. I've beta tested Google when it was at Stanford, right? That's how long ago I started using it. When Google Ads came out, amazing results, right? But over time, as just like anything, even with Facebook ads or Meta ads right now, right? Just before the iOS update or even the Cambridge issue that happened before that, right? Great times. But over time, it either gets saturated, you know, more marketers adapt and it becomes all more competitive. And then there are certain things, technology happens, right? When technology happens, whatever things that you were doing to inch your way up on ROAS, like that, you can't play that game anymore, right? And it just, you're not getting those results. So you always look for, because technology happens and companies like Customers.ai, right, have this innovative. And by the way, to the audience, some of the case studies are ridiculous. So stay tuned, we will get to that. It's a journey in this interview, so we will get to that point. And also, Larry and team have done a great job of giving the This Week with Sabir audience a very special offer, that I'll flash when we talk about the case studies. I'll be flashing that special promo that if you use that link, you'll get that special promo to try this out, and it's gonna be phenomenal. So Larry, what specific gap? I mean, you said that you needed to pivot and you want to get into and solving other problems, right? So what specific gap in the e-commerce market did you aim to fill with customers.ai?
Well, so we've talked a little bit about rising costs of customer acquisition, which I think is probably the biggest challenge. And then we're just looking at conversion rates. So one of the neat things that I had at WordStream was that we had so many companies working with our products that we had a very good understanding of what the conversion rates for ads were on different platforms for different industries. And the reality is that they were kind of static, believe it or not. So like it's different for every company, but the overall distribution of conversion rates for these e-commerce types products was 4 or 5% conversion rates on average, which means, 90-95% of these ad clicks that you're paying for are not getting through to doing the things that you're hoping for them to do, like buy the thing. And so this solution of kind of visitor identification or marketing, I think that it's really interesting because if you've paid for that click, and these clicks can be a few dollars now, it used to be like pennies, so
I remember that.
depending on your targeting and your location settings, like it's a real bummer if 90-95% of people aren't buying the darn thing, and you can't even remarket to them anymore because the cookies are dead. It's like that signal from your Facebook ad pixel isn't making its way back to Facebook to get another shot. You're just asking about like what types of solutions are we talking about here? We're talking about radically, increasing the conversion throughput of these funnels through identifying all the fish that got away. So those 95% of people, a significant that clicked through your campaigns and didn't buy, like a significant fraction, 20-25% of them, we can actually confidently identify in terms of providing you with a detailed, identity in terms of name, first name, last name, email, phone number, like all sorts of different bits about their identity in terms of married, children, income level, credit rating. Like we can give you a good idea of who those people are. And you can then use our product to create user segmentations. People who, are repeat visitors, or people who spent more than 3 minutes on the site, or people who, scrolled to a certain depth, or people who, had a certain URL product in their browse journey. So you can create these different segmentations, and then so that you can take action on these segmentations. One of them is for the higher intent types of segmentations, like people who are clicking on the right pages and sticking around for a long time, but just need that extra push. You can just send them an email, and we've built out all sorts of integrations with different email service providers like Klaviyo and 100 others to make that work very seamlessly. But you don't want to email everybody. Some people are still like higher funnel, still kind of in market, but not ready to pull the trigger. And for those, what we've done is you can create segmentations and take remarketing actions. And so this is really clever. We should talk about it more, but at a high level, what's happening here is that the Facebook pixel is completely dead because all this iOS stuff and Safari and Firefox are just blocking third-party cookies, and Chrome will be completely killed off cookies this summer. The remarketing signal is broken that used third-party cookies, and so because we know who these people are, we can actually do a server-to-server call to Facebook Ad Manager to repopulate those those audiences, so that you can and because we have all this data on secondary email address, work email address, first and last name, business address, home address, we can send we securely, like, so encrypting, we're not actually sending any data in the clear here, but like securely encrypt and send over hashed data to the ad platforms so that they can get a match on these users who, A, were on your website, and B, but like this means they've heard of you and they're in market for your products and services, so that you can get another shot at kind of moving them down the funnel so that they can enter one of your higher engagement segments so that you can email them offers and stuff like this. And so what we're talking about here is it's not just like incremental, you know, 5% lift or something like this. We're talking about really reshaping and resculpting what this, you know, traditional e-commerce D2C funnel looks like. And we can, you know, the results are remarkable. Like in terms of before and after for your ad campaigns, if you have, you know, remarketing data, we know that remarketing campaigns, they do 2 to 3 times higher engagement. Higher engagement, of course, is lower cost per click, lower effective CPC, and that remarketing audiences tend to convert at 2 to 3 times higher than non-remarketing audiences because they've heard of you and they've kind of expressed that they're in market already by the fact that they're, you know, snooping around on your site. So transformative results on both online advertising results as well as conversion rate optimization by pushing, you know, email capture and offers to the folks who do visit your site and have high intent but don't end up buying the products or items that you're trying to sell there.
One thing I want to interject in there is the reason you know, all these things that are happening is because over time, what has happened is mobile commerce has become the dominant channel or device where you're making your revenue. Depending on the product category, anywhere from 50% to 70% of your e-commerce revenue for your site could be coming from mobile, right? And who was the first one to kill it? iOS 14 update, right? And that killed all the pixels, right? So if you keep on playing the same game over and over again and expecting different results from your Meta ad spend and stuff, and say why is my Facebook spend tanking, is because the world has changed, the technology has changed. You need to change because of it, right? And before that, when it was more desktop, you had a bit more leverage there, you know, as an advertiser. But because most of the e-commerce has moved over to mobile, you have to put in things like this in place in order to recoup. And especially if you are, and you're absolutely right about the retargeting, right? When you retarget people who have at least even kicked the tires on your website, right? To just looked at a few pages, maybe you had videos, they checked you out and stuff. Getting them to re-engage with your brand is a lot easier for you to then go for, you know, not retargeted audiences or complete cold audiences. You're not gonna get the same results. And I think one other key thing you said, and I want to highlight it, is that you've already spent the money with Google Ads, with Facebook Ads, with Pinterest and TikTok and all of these platforms, right? How can you recoup and increase your return on advertising spend by retargeting this 25% that you would have lost anyways? You know, you would have lost them, and your ROAS would have stayed down at that lower level.
Sure. I want to pick up a little bit of what you said there. We're talking about signal loss. Initially, you were talking about how the Facebook pixel, you know, due to the shift to mobile and iOS changing, you know, like making people opt in to the tracking and all this stuff, and everyone clicks no. So that really has impacted the Facebook pixel. The Facebook pixel was like a gift to marketers, okay? Like people don't know how amazing that thing really was. Most people think that it was just to track conversions, and that was certainly one of its core use cases. But the other thing that it did was it powered remarketing at an incredible scale, in that through the use of third-party cookies, it could identify everybody who visited your website. Why? Or not everyone, like 50% of people who visited your website, because there was a 50-50 chance that person who was visiting your website was actually logged into Facebook on either a different browser tab or you know, like just there, that there was a third-party cookie present in that browser session somewhere. And so when iOS 14 came out and all these other browsers followed suit, what's happened is that remarketing signal has degraded. We used to be able to remarket to about 50% of our website visitors. It's down, that signal is down about 84% at the moment, and we fully expect it to get to 100% dead by, you know, this summer. It just means it can't figure out who's on your site anymore. And that's why Facebook has introduced all this Audience Plus nonsense, which is just...
Advantage Plus.
Advantage Plus audience targeting, which is just like, kind of like a, you know, similar audiences, like with lipstick on it. Like it just, it's hard for me to get excited about
whatever
that.
Whenever you select Advantage Plus, you look at the population, it's like 250 million people.
Exactly. So if you have a more discriminating audience in mind, like an ideal customer persona that's less than 250 million people, you know, it just tells you like the chances of you actually hitting the right audience is very low. And the reason why they're doing this to us is because they don't have any signal. Like they're putting on a bold face and then trying to push through that. But what you really need is just your signal back. And so let me give you an analogy here, Sabir. The old way of using ad pixels was like renting an ad pixel. Every different ad platform, like, you know, Google had an ad pixel, Facebook had an ad pixel, et cetera, et cetera. And they weren't your ad pixel. What you were doing was you were actually renting theirs. So they would give it to you for free. You would put it on your website to enrich their ad platform, data. Yeah. Right? Because the other thing they were doing was they were actually sharing your visitor data with other
advertisers.
Exactly. And that's part of the whole, you know, privacy issues. So, you know, you had this, and people still have it on. People have this Facebook pixel on their site, and it's just kind of enriching their ad network. So you're renting this thing.
Getting paid for it.
Yeah.
And paying in order to run ads.
Sure. Now that third-party cookies are in the rear view mirror, like this is in the dustpan of marketing, we think the future is owning your own pixel technology so that, you know, D2C brand or e-commerce brand, that you have to actually have your own pixel. And what that pixel should do is, just like how the Google and Facebook pixel used to be able to ID people, you should be making more of the first party data that you have. Your website visitors is unique to your website. It's the work that you do on social, on your ad campaigns, on your content marketing. Exactly. Those are your people. And rather than just relying on these third-party pixels that don't work anymore and that you were kind of quote unquote renting, like, you should just have your own pixel. Because like, you couldn't even see the data. It was opaque. Like, you didn't get to see the list of visitors. It was like just sent back to them and they had the data. Remember that?
So, and it would never report back either. Say, hey, we matched, I don't know, whatever, you know? Even so, when you load up your list, for it to give you a matchback number, it doesn't. You gave it data to say, these are my customers. It doesn't give you the data back. Hey, we found 60%. It used to at one point, no longer, you know? So when it does a matchback on your mailing list, right, it doesn't really give you any sense, so that you don't really know unless you run an ad and you figure it out, you know? That you know, I guess that they matched 60%, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So what I'm suggesting here is the way forward, like, there is no replacement for third-party cookies. Like, the Google, Facebook, they're not advocating for, like it's not like they released, like, some other third-party cookie system. The way forward is to make more of your first-party data. And one way to make more of your first-party is owning your own pixel that collects, you know, all of this website identity data of all of your website visitors, tracking those user journeys, like what pages did they visit, you know, what did they do, where did they stop, what did they click on, what, you know, like having all that visitor data. Why? So that you can create these different segmentations to take action on, so that you're kind of pushing people down the funnel to do the things that you're hoping for them to do, like buying your products and D2C items. And this is just I think this is truly transformational. Like once you kind of set this up, you know, it's like you're remarketing like it's, you know, 2018 again. And in terms of like just lead capture, like populating your lists and, you know, more, you know, juicing up your cart abandonment flows and your welcome back series, like all your best email automations and your ad campaigns, they'll just be like significantly better. And just looping that back to your prior question of like, why the heck are you focusing on this area? It's because I truly believe, Sabir, this is the most leveraged area like in digital marketing right now in 2024. With the demise of cookies is happening right now, you know, imminently in you know, June, July timeframe where Chrome is going to turn them off completely. Like people don't even understand how like there's still like a little bit of signal coming back from Chrome, but that is actually going to be gone very, very soon. And I think that having not just a, you know, a replacement, but an upgrade over what you used to have. Remember, the Facebook pixel never told you like who those people were. It's not like you could do anything other than, you know, run
the ads against them.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think this is a significant upgrade. It just, you know, it checks the box on a lot of things, like, you know, how to deal with paid ads in a cookie-less future, how to make more of your first-party data, you know, how to increase cart abandonment revenue, and this, it just solves a lot of important questions here.
So one thing I want to clarify, because I want to make sure that the audience understands, because you said a really rich thing in here, you know, but I want to clarify it so that they understand it, right? You drop those pixels, and everybody's favorite thing is dropping pixels when they're setting up their Shopify, right? They get their, you know, Facebook pixel, Google pixel, TikTok, Pinterest, whatever. You know, there are plenty of pixels to go around, right? Once you drop those pixels, one key thing you said, and I want to repeat it so that people understand what this means. Those third party, Facebook, TikTok, and all these other guys, they are the ones who are collecting that data. It's still, even though the traffic is on your site, it's their data. And if you want to do anything, you have to pay them to pay to play in that scenario. Versus what Larry is talking about with this, first, it becomes first party. So the conversation changes now. If 25% of that traffic, if I can get it, and I can start building up a database for email marketing, and I can connect it to my Klaviyo, and I can connect it to my other email marketing platforms, it's my data. And I have control over that data, not that it's a Facebook pixel that if I want to retarget those people, right? That let's say I can retarget 10,000 people through Facebook because that's what it captured. I need to buy 10,000 people times whatever number of impressions I want to run against them for a certain budget. I need to buy that again to bring them back again. And if they don't buy again, I'm going to have to repeat that cycle. I have to keep on spending, right? Versus in this scenario, I'm building this first party data that I own, my business owns, not that I've given it off to somebody else. Is that right, Larry?
It's absolutely right. And conceptually, the way that I would look at it is like, instead of installing three or four other third-party ad pixels like TikTok, Facebook, Google, put down a customers.ai pixel. That'll be like a warehouse of all your audience data. It's like an audience manager, but it's your audience manager where you can see all the data, you know, it's yours. And then depending on what you want to do with this data, we then open up a connection securely using encryption, sending it that data to the Facebook ad manager or to the Google ad manager or to the TikTok ad manager. You see how that's different?
Yeah.
And there's just one other thing I wanted to add, which was you mentioned TikTok advertising. Certain ad platforms, the pixel use case for remarketing and sending signals was a little bit tenuous, like it was a little weak. So Google's ad pixel was able to kind of power remarketing of say 50% of your website visitors. That was because 50% of people were just logged into Gmail, okay? Mm-hmm. And the same thing with Facebook. That use case on platforms like TikTok was—
which is primarily an app.
Exactly, yep. was more tenuous. Like maybe you might be logged into to TikTok on some browser, which, you know, I don't even know if that's a thing or not. Like, you know, maybe and maybe it, like back when cookies were still alive, it could have sent back data. But like one of the core issues here is that advertisers don't always have the right identifiers, Sabir. So like a lot of D2C and e-commerce brands have the email addresses of their customers, but because of how something like TikTok is working, where maybe 70-80% of the logins are actually phone numbers, you might not actually have the right identifier to match with a user on TikTok. And so one thing that we do by you owning your own data and us having, you know, tons of enrichment assets available, you know, in the platform, is that we can augment, you know, email addresses that you collect with corresponding, you know, secondary identifiers like mobile phone numbers and stuff like this. And then we do send this back to the ad platforms, you know, encrypted, you know, to make these matches. You have a substantially higher chance of actually making that match. Like, so TikTok is one example. Another example, I don't know how often this comes up in e-commerce or D2C, but like LinkedIn ads is an example where,
oh yeah,
where the B2B company has the business address, but nobody's login on LinkedIn is the business address. It's always a personal address. And yeah, so it's our ability to, you know, transpose these, you know, these the business addresses that they have to a personal address, and push that to the you know, ad platforms like TikTok or LinkedIn, which, you know, substantially increases the match.
You know, you kind of reminded me of you know, what you just said. It just reminded me of high school, right? I used to do really well in math, right? And then there were other students who were not so great in math. They would copy off of my test paper, right? Cheat. And in one instance, what happened was several of them copied everything off my paper, including my name.
Oh.
So after class, after the teacher had collected everything, said, "Mr. Summerkin, can I talk to you?" I said, "Okay." So I stopped by, everybody left, and said, "Why did you submit four of these?" I said, "What do you mean four of these? I just did one test." No, I received four of them. "Can you look at them and tell me which one you think you submitted?" I said, "This one, this is mine. These other three, I have no clue what this, who's there are. That's not even my handwriting, right?" And you know, you kind of reminded me of these pixels. Like, Google did it, right? It makes sense. And then Facebook did it. Facebook was primarily apps, right? WhatsApp and Facebook and Instagram, all apps. Rarely people use it on their desktop, right? And then all of these other followers that came after Facebook, all the social media platforms like TikTok and Pinterest and all these other, maybe Pinterest is a little different because I've seen people use Pinterest on their desktop or in a browser. But all these other platforms, they said, "Oh, Facebook is doing it. Let's do exactly what Facebook is doing. Let's follow that." Like, sometimes you have to be intelligent in business and figure out, like, if my competition is doing it, doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. They might be wasting a lot of money and resources and everything and not really getting much results. And that's one of the reasons, by the way, in my 25 years of running ads and scaling these e-commerce businesses, what I've noticed is, hands down, still to date, two platforms do really well, Google and Amazon, because it's a nice closed system that completely controls every part of the journey. When it comes to all the other platforms, they're just mimicking and copying, and that's why you don't get the returns that you get from these two platforms. The ROAS, especially in e-commerce, tends to be pretty high on Google and Amazon, on Amazon ads. But when it comes to like Facebook and these other platforms, you don't get the same results. That's from my experience, Larry.
Yeah. So just bringing this back to this conceptually, you know, I would look at us as your own first party audience manager, which allows you to then own that data, create different segmentations, and then push those out to different ad platforms, including platforms like Pinterest or Amazon. But that we believe, because of this additional step of data enrichment, that were actually making it substantially more valuable than had you just had some stupid pixel, like you're renting one of their pixels and they were trying to send that data back, because A, that signal is blocked because of third-party cookies, and B, it doesn't have all the enriched the enrichment capabilities that we're talking about here. So that's all.
So let's get specific, right? Let's talk about, my audience loves to learn about from examples and case studies. So if you could like unpack a case study where customers' AI, when once it was implemented, what sort of an ROAS? I looked behind the scenes, by the way. It's a ridiculous, amazing ROAS. I love it, you know? But I would like you to kind of unpack it for us, a D2C example case study where customers' AI was implemented and what kind of results did they get from it. Just walk us through that in detail.
Sure. Look, we work with thousands of D2C and e-commerce brands, but one that comes to mind is in the consumer space, like therapeutic massagers. Yeah. And this is a major brand, and they do tens of millions in sales annually. And you know, you have a ton of website volume, like I said earlier, even the best brands, like they're not converting, you know, 20% of their traffic or anything. It's still, you know, mid to high single digits. You know, it's pretty typical for e-commerce, even if you're the best. And so we applied our technology to figure out an additional 20 to 25% of the folks who are in market. And that was an enormous mark. That was an enormous number. Like I'll just give you a simple number. Say it's like, you know, a million website visitors to the website in a given month. You know, you're talking like an extra 250,000 emails and contacts. Wow. So that's too much. So what you do is you start kind of segmenting away at it. Like you say, okay, well these were from my high-priced ad campaigns, or these are people from my search campaigns. So, you know, search campaigns have high intent because like yep. they're actually looking to buy it. Or these are from these users are from you know, various other social sources, but they have like high intent as expressed by the amount of time on page or how many pages that they viewed or what pages were in their session. So you do this journey of segmentation of figuring out who the high value folks are, and you end up with a number that's, you know, less than 2.5 million, or sorry, 250,000, but still like in the tens of thousands, and over just a period of 90 days, we generated them hundreds of thousands of emails, seven figures in incremental
wow.
You know, product revenue for this e-commerce leading therapeutic massager company, this is just like a force multiplier. Like, you know, you're squeezing more juice out of everything you're doing. If you're doing like brand campaigns, you know, online, like television, radio, like all this sort of direct traffic, or if you're doing like, you know, Pinterest or social campaigns, like or influencer SEO, stuff, like it all roads lead to your website. Yeah. And this is like, you know, suddenly we're talking about, instead of like mid single digit, you know, capture rate for contact information, we're saying that we could do an incremental 20 to 25% on top of that. And that's like, they're not correlated. Like you have the, you call it 5% that you convert organically. Here's another 20%, you know, that we can ID for you. That's just really transformative, and it just goes back to your original question of like, why the heck are you doing this? Like, yeah, you know, why this? It's because this is where the leverage is. Like, this is truly transformational, and I just didn't want to focus on something where it was like, oh, we can give you a 0.5% uplift or something like this. Like, and there's plenty of things like that, but I just don't believe in any of them. Like, if you're gonna spend time on some kind of a new channel. It has to be leveraged, and this is just unbelievable leverage. Are you following here, Sabir?
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm listening because you're saying a lot of great things. You know, from an ROAS standpoint, in that. By the way, just to put context into the massage gun category, heavily competitive and heavily saturated. So every penny and everything that you're doing, all of the efforts that you're doing, you want to make it pay off. Otherwise, you know, you go to an agency and they tell you that, oh, 1 to 2 ROAS is good, right? Yeah, you know, you're pulling your hair out, and there's a reason why I don't have any more hair, you know, and you're pulling your hair out and saying like, look, you are telling me that I need to buy every revenue every time that I advertise on these paid platforms, but how can I leverage that in order to not only market, I can keep on remarketing, right? I'm going to have that ability to remarket to that. And in that case, with the investment they did in customers.ai, right? What was their ROAS? If you look at the expense of having your service versus the return that they got, which was phenomenal. You just mentioned that it was phenomenal. Well, what was the ROAS on that?
So at the time when we published this, which was within 30 days, it was at 17.5 times.
Wow.
But I know that it's continuing to compound, because with a visitor ID and remarketing, it's like, you know, the more data you have, the better it is. Like, think about like, what's a very valuable audience segment? Repeat visitors, right? Because, you know, that means that A, they either fell out of market and now they're back in market. That's a strong intent signal. Or it could be that they fell out of market because they bought your thing and now they're in market for like the cartridges or for the, you know, for the deluxe model. So like, what I'm trying to say is that accumulation of data is stuff that you would typically see beyond the 30-day window. And so we know that these ROASs continue to climb, you know, for the foreseeable future. I wanted to talk a little bit about remarketing. So this particular brand is just getting started with their Facebook ad campaigns using our technology. They were primarily interested in bolstering the cart abandonment revenue and the welcome back sequence revenue, which by the way are usually like the number one and number two most profitable email sequences, you know, for these you know, email automations, but they're just getting started on the Meta Facebook remarketing side of the puzzle. But we do have other brands where we're seeing cost per click getting cut down by 3-4 times as a result of actually sending back the correct data of your remarketing data rather than using this Facebook you know, plus targeting, like this, you know, audience plus targeting, which like, you know, it's like a 200 million people in those audiences, which, you know, it's just not very targeted, unfortunately. And so just
200 million people. How is that retarded?
Yeah, it's like the size of America. It's like how many adults are there in the United States of America? It's crazy. So like, you know, you got to be really skeptical with you know, anything to do with those audience plus targeting or just vanilla, you know, interest-based targeting on Meta ads. You really have to be bringing your own data. The problem is that these D2C and e-commerce brands, they don't have, you know, they might not have, some of them do, but like not everyone has tons of data. And so what I'm suggesting here is that it's time to make more of what you have, your first party data, and you need to be logging every single visitor and like stockpiling that information. Now, like Google Analytics will give you some information, stupid Google Analytics 4, you know, they do sampling.
By the way, how do you feel about that, Google Analytics 4?
You know,
Needs to be fired there, by the way. That's my review of it. GA3 was much more functional than GA4.
Well, that's by design. I think what they're finding is that if you're a $2 trillion company or something like this, there's just not a lot of upside in providing like going above and beyond in terms of providing additional insights, like User Explorer that was like used to give you good information about like who's visiting your website and all this stuff. Like that's, it just got ripped out. Like all, like it used to be there was a golden age here. There was a golden age where, oh shoot. Oh no.
I see you. It's okay. Sometimes my cat does that too.
There was a golden age where Google and Facebook for about a decade were competing to provide the best possible data to their advertisers, and just you know, they've gotten so big that they've kind of both independently determined that there's not a lot of upside in providing tons of data, you know, at this juncture, now that they've already all made it, they kind of effectively have an oligopoly here, we're seeing data loss. And so the way to combat this is simply to build up your own stockpile. Like it's, and that's what it was before Facebook and Google Ads existed. It was
analyzers, if you remember, Larry.
Yeah, the people who were doing sophisticated marketing had stockpiles of first party data, and that's basically where it's going. Like in terms of like,
full circle, right? Because the thing is, I remember in the beginning of e-commerce. And for many years, actually, you didn't have tools like Google Analytics 3 or Urchin at that time, right? That's why it's like, you know, it's UTM is Urchin tag mark, right? It's not universal tag mark, you know, UTM, you know? So what happened was I would collect this really rich data, first party data, and I would know exactly for every person that showed up to my site, I knew exactly what they were doing, and I would analyze that data and then grow my business from there based on that, right? It was a lot of work, mind you, right? But then simplicity and free things came in, like Google Analytics is free, right? Then everybody got very lazy, in my opinion, right?
This is exactly, that was the golden age. And, you know, I was really dumb. I thought that would persist. And then just really quickly, within 3-4 years, it's all come to a screeching halt.
Part of that customers.ai, you know, is the AI part of it. How does AI and machine learning fuel, the machine that's making all this visitor identification happen behind the scenes?
Sure. It's like a mosaic of a lot of data sources that we are kind of analyzing to create this understanding. And the machine learning is just a better model to stitch together kind of these loose signals versus more traditional computational models. There's a couple other areas in addition to the core visitor identification and remarketing tech where we leverage AI. One of them is in the email generation. So we do have the capability of, you know, auto generating email copy. And so that's, I think you might expect to see that. But with one interesting functionality that we can pull in all sorts of different attributes from the user profile to make customizations to those emails. And then there's one other thing that we're working on, which is lead scoring. Because we'll have all these different user journeys of people visiting different pages on your site, and we measure every click, and because we know which ones of them end up buying stuff, we can help you in the segmentation process of not just saying, here's a user segmentation manager, go have at it. Like, we can actually tell you like which are the high value targets to email or to remarket to. So AI comes into play like a lot of areas. We're even using it to simplify our workflow. For example, just to give you a stupid example, like we do have B2B and B2C companies using this, and they have different features, but it's hard to know, you know, which one's a B2B company, which one's a B2C company. Like, so just the app is gonna know, you know, just by looking at your website, what type of company you are. And so it'll just set itself up correctly without requiring user input. So like, I think AI, it's kind of like water. It's just something that you, like a tool that developers like me can, you know, sprinkle into pretty much, you know, every aspect of how a product like this is built.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting, because it's not just, because we were talking about so far about these matchbacks that you get based on, you know, the email, now you can retarget it. But what you just said is, it's very interesting, because now you're looking at that machine learning part of the engine is actually looking at all behavior on your site and determining what high intent looks like for your business. In case of e-commerce, it would be add to cart, dwell time on product pages, watching the video, whatever those things are.
Sources. It could be where how they got there in the first place. It could be like, you know, whether or not they came back a second time. Like, there's so many different signals. Yes, and we're showing you the identities, and it could be their attributes. Like, as we, you know, we enrich the IDs of these people, if we find out someone's like super rich or super wealthy, like, you know, like that there's other, you know, as long as we have all this information and we know who ended up buying, it's just a fairly, I mean, it's not rocket science at this juncture to apply ML and figure out who you should be focusing on, because it's like less is more. Like, if you can get the same result by sending out half as many emails, that's a huge boost, because, you know, better deliverability, less email costs, like, you know, it's just
all of your email KPIs improve, you know, in that scenario
Higher engagement for the email, for fewer emails sent, et cetera, et cetera. So just lots of exciting things happen, and you know, AI and ML is a huge game changer here.
So one of the things that I promised to our audience is that you were gracious enough to give us a special offer. I would like to put it up here, right? If you go on and use this URL, special URL, growthbysabir.com/customersAI, it's a very special referral URL. There you will get 10% off of the Pro and Advanced plan. So if you use this, if you don't use this link and you go directly, you're not going to get that special offer. So you should definitely use this link to go there. I'm going to keep it up here, growthbysabir.com/customersAI. So one question I have for you, Larry, is how do you see the adoption of your customers? Like you said, that the pixels are, you know, from all these platforms are becoming more and more useless, right? And they're less effective. When in your client's journey do you see that they say, oh, you know what, I'm going to keep the customer's AI pixel and I'm going to offload completely. I'm going to remove the pixels from Meta and Google and Pinterest and TikTok, because customer's AI is going to link to those platforms, to my ad platforms, so that I can get really rich data. Is there that transition point that they completely stop cold and remove it? Because every one of these pixels, some of them are very heavy, and it affects the load time on your Shopify store and stuff like that. The one notorious one in my book is Pinterest, the pixel. It's very heavy, in my opinion. Right? Sure, it does slow down your site. And if you have a lot of them, quite a few of them, and there are quite a few platforms, it's not just Google and Meta, right? There are other pixels that you put up. As soon as you start loading it up, you could have 7 to 10 pixels. Is there a point that the client says, okay, you know what, this is great, I'm gonna remove those, and I'm gonna let customers AI feed all this data to those platforms so that I can get better targeted retargeting, I can do lookalike audiences, I can do all sorts of other things on those platforms, but I want customers.ai to do that?
Sure. I think it just depends on the pixel. There's kind of better ones and there's more useless ones. The Facebook one still has one interesting use case, and that is something called CAPI, or Conversions API. And so, you know, if you set up a pixel and you have a pixel ID, you can phone home like conversion events through a server connection. So that's something that we're working on actively. And that will allow, like, so far I've been talking about customers AI in terms of restoring remarketing audiences, which is a lost functionality. You know, there's other things that these ad pixels do. And one of them is attribution, which is something that we're actively working on. And so the problem here is that these Facebook ad pixels can't just phone home through the browser JavaScript anymore. They you know, so what the way that they ask you to do it is that you have the Facebook ad script to open a server connection, and, you know, through your server connection send home like a conversion event. And so that's still an interesting use case that you should still probably, you know, not kill it just yet. We're actively working on that element of our product to be able to phone home conversions as well, and not just restore audiences, I think that this is a kind of a coexisting strategy at the moment, where you know you rely more on something like customers AI for your audience data and your retargeting audiences, but in the future we'll be able to also cover the ad attribution conversion tracking.
Is there any kind of a use case, because you have, I was thinking that you have so much data, right? And there's this built-in machine learning aspect of customers.ai. Does it help me enhance personalization on my site? Is there a use case for that?
Yeah, I think you're talking about our product roadmap here. So, you know, conceptually, what we can do is we can ID individuals coming to websites. And, so that's kind of interesting, but like, what's the purpose of having that information? Well, the purpose is to do something with that data, or other, you have to take some kind of an action in order to take advantage of the fact that you actually know who these people are. Otherwise, why does it matter, like, that you know who these people are? So we've talked about two use cases of what to do with these people. It was like, well, you could email them, or you could remarket to them. A third common use case for something like this, where you could ID people, would be to customize the website experience. So that's not something that we do currently, but it's certainly a logical next step to unlock that type of functionality. Based on the fact that you know who these people are through your first party data. And I think that this would be differentiated from other vendors who do something like this, because we can ID so much more people, right? So there's some companies that do this web personalization, but that's really based on people who have like purchased and logged in. So that's maybe 1-3% of your web traffic typically is kind of like the logged in, like known entities. And so we could, make that bigger by, 8, 9, 10 times, and then provide similar, value prop, but for just, 800% more people or something like that. Yeah.
What do you see typically from their journey, from the time they set up, and I shared this link, growthbysevere.com/customers AI, right? They go in, my audience goes in, sets up their account, they connect their Shopify with customers.ai. What should they expect? Like, it's a walk. You mentioned in 12 weeks or 90 days, you had, with the massage gun, that they got a 17.5x ROAS. Does that curve, is that visible like immediately? Is there a time period where the machine learning needs to kick in? It requires some time to collect that information before you could actually start seeing something. What does that journey look like? If you think about those 12 weeks, which is 90 days.
I think it has a lot to do with the company dynamics, the product and funnel and your existing things. Keep in mind, like, remarketing and visitor identification is kind of a defensive technology. It's not like we're finding like new people. It's more about, getting more juice out of the squeeze, of the people that are coming in. So, it's kind of like garbage in, garbage out. Like if you have low quality traffic, coming into your site, and we're kind of just shining a light on that garbage traffic and telling you that these are the garbage people that you're driving through your funnel, and that's why it's not working. I mean, that would be unfortunate, but like, it would still be very valuable to know that these are the types of people that you're bringing in. And then, maybe you should fire your marketing manager and do different types of marketing activities. You see what I'm saying? So like, you're saying like, how quickly can I get a result? Well, it depends on kind of what's happening upstream, if that's like real,
If they're doing a good job, you'll make it better. If they're doing a better job, you'll make it even betterer than that.
Exactly. It's the way I would describe this is like, for most company, for almost for every company, like, this really is the lowest hanging fruit, right? If someone's heard of you, as evidenced by the fact that they're snooping around on your website, that also means that they're in market. Okay. because otherwise, why are they there? And those typically are, you know, three times higher engagement, 2 to 3 times higher conversion rate, and 1/3 the cost per click. So if you multiply those points through a funnel, you're talking like, you know, 5 to 10 times, you know, improvement in return on ROI, like through the funnel at those different stages. And so, you know, that's what we typically see. It could be more or it could be less. It could be faster or slower. It just depends on sort of what the quality of the upstream stuff is like. But I can confidently say that if it's bad, then it's not like there was any other maneuver that you could have done here, because this really was your, like, you'd be talking about like expanding the net to like bigger audiences of 250 million people or something like this. Like it, you know, alternatives would have been even worse is kind of what I'm trying to describe here.
One takeaway I get from that is that if you're the owner of the company and you use this, right, it might actually speed up. You had it in your gut that marketing person that you had hired was not doing a great job. Now you're armed with great data that tells you that they are really sucking at their job. They need to go because they're damaging your company, right?
Sure. Even when this doesn't work, it's actually very valuable data, because what you can do is you could then look at like it's basically more of an analytical use case where you're trying to figure out like which channels are not performing and which ones are performing. And because we can ID visitors, not just by, you know, their name and identity, but also through their UTM like sources, and you can create these different segmentations that you should be able to kind of, even if you're terrible, there's going to be some sources that are going to be super terrible and some that are just like average. You see what I'm saying? And we can you know, that's the benefit of having, you know, first party data and then being able to understand what the heck's happening on your website and not just relying on something like Google Analytics.
Yep. So I ask every one of my guests, because I bring on the highest quality guests on my show, right? In 2024, Larry, what is your number one $1 billion? Because you had a multi-million dollar exit, okay, from WordStream, and I'm sure with Customers AI, you're going to have an amazing exit also. What is your number one advice to today's marketer, given the ecosystem we live in? What is your number one $1 billion advice?
It's what we've been talking about, that people aren't ready for the loss of third-party cookies. It's been kind of confusing because it's been a death in like a lot of little pieces rather than the whole thing disappearing. But like, people fundamentally don't understand how that's going to impact their systems, their analytics, their ads, because it's kind of in a zombie mode right now. And that zombie mode is going to die, like, call it June 30th, July 1st, around the time frame. And so I think the heroes that will emerge from this apocalypse are the folks who, you know, have really great strategies to migrate to a first party first strategy of marketing. And part of this is, you know, having a better handle of one of your most important first party data assets, your website visitors, and having that ability to understand who these people are and to take action on it. And so, you know, it's I'm very excited about this. Like, that's why I'm not like, you know, retired, you know, in Hawaii, like, because I think this is the place to be. And you know, we're certainly seeing this in our customers, and I'm glad you're excited about it too. That's what I would be focused on, you know, like, intently.
Larry, this was an amazing episode. Thank you for sharing your knowledge, and especially the various aspects of customers.ai. Again, I would ask my audience to get that 10% off the pro and the advanced plan. Definitely try this out, because this is for the future of your business. You know, that's what my recommendation. And to get the special offer, go to growthbysevere.com/customersai. Larry, thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day and sharing all your knowledge with us.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Sabir.
Thank you, audience, for tuning in. Stay tuned for amazing guests like Larry Kim. We will be adding more and more episodes in the upcoming weeks. Thank you very much. Bye.